Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. That's, yeah, we're going to go for cheese.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good.
So it's Halloween,
yep.
Apparently, which is an American
Mostly an American thing. It's slowly gaining popularity in England, but isn't exactly as huge as it is in America.
No, but we still get kids roaming in the streets.
Yeah, and you know, people throw parties and stuff.
And I figured just to commemorate the occasion, we're going to read some scary stories.
Yeah.
So I'm Sean, and
I'm Sam.
Yeah, and this is the Painful Potsplosion Halloween Special.
Should we mention the game that's playing alongside this before we dive in?
Yeah, if you're watching the YouTube video, then there's footage of me playing very badly The Evil Within.
Yeah, it's his first attempt at it, so there's probably mistakes and stuff.
Oh, it's mostly just me faffing around the inventory, I think.
Yeah.
Trying to attack dudes and that's it. I'm not sure about the game yet. I think I'll talk about that in the future because I've only got to like chapter 3 and it's not. But the one thing
you seem to be enjoying it.
One thing I can guarantee is that there's no jump scares in the YouTube video because I'm not a dick like that.
Yes.
Apart from the one that just happened then. No, I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. That would require me to actually edit that in.
Yes, obviously.
I might do that. Yeah. See how much of a massive dick I am.
Okay.
So I've just cherry picked a load of random creepy pastas. You're going to hear lots of clicking, by the way, because I've got my laptop here.
Yeah.
I'm smart, and thought I'd just read them off the screen rather than read them off a bit of paper.
Then again, if we had the paper, it would be full of rustling, so...
Exactly, so, you know, I'll try and boost on the clicking and sort of bits and pieces, but...
Yeah.
I've chosen my favourite one.
Okay.
To begin with, I love this one, and there's a couple of versions online, but I thought I'd just read out, and we'll take the piss out of it as we're going along.
Yeah, I think so.
This one's called The Masterpiece. Now, if this was that show that they used to have, Are You Afraid of the Dark? They pour some salt on the campfire.
Yes. We don't have a campfire or salt.
I'd be a bit worried if we had a campfire in our bedroom.
Yeah, that would be a bit weird.
Okay.
So, this is actually a masterpiece,
then. I think it's pretty good.
Okay.
It's a short one, so hopefully. Okay. Let's give it a go. You'll recognise it immediately.
Probably.
So, I've been lying down for hours now. It's 5:35 a.m. and there's not much I can do. You know what the worst part of my situation is? I'm in the same room with my parents. They keep looking at me and I can't help but look back and try not to cry or scream. Their eyes are focused on me and their mouths are wide open. There's the strong scent of blood, and I feel so paralysed with fear. Here's the thing. The second I make any hint that I'm not asleep anymore, I'm completely fucked. I will die, and there's nobody around to save me. I've been trying to think of a way out, but the only idea I have is to rush for the door and run outside the front door and scream for help, hoping any neighbours will hear me. It's risky, but if I stay here, I'll surely die. He's waiting for me to wake up and see his masterpiece. You're probably wondering what's going on. I do get ahead of myself sometimes. About 3 hours ago, I heard screaming from the other side of the house. I got up and went to check on the noise before realising I had to use the restroom. Did that so often there. But go check something, I realised, actually, I really need to pee.
Well, there was a scary noise, but at the same time, bathroom.
Yeah. Instead of doing the smart thing and investigating, I used the bathroom first. Good plan.
Yeah.
I could have gotten myself killed right then for my stupid actions, but I actually did my business and took a peek outside the bathroom. There was blood on the carpet. I got very worried and ran back to my room, hiding under my sheets like a pussy I was. Like the pussy I was. Tried to convince myself to go back to sleep, that it was just some really vivid dream or something. But I heard my bedroom door open. Like the terrified child I was. Am.
Yeah, it doesn't really say how old he is, does he?
Is it a child? Is it...
I don't know, is this something that happened to him in his youth, or is he actually still in the bed,
well,
typing this on his smartphone?
Spoilers, I think the implication is the guy dies, so
okay.
I'm not sure. But I heard my bedroom door open. Like the terrified child I was, I peeked from under my blankets to see what was going on. I could see something dragging my dead parents into the room. It was not human, I can tell you that. It was hairless, with no eyes and no clothing. It walked like a caveman, with its back slouched as it dragged my parents. But this thing was much smarter than any caveman. It was aware of what it was doing.
I thought cavemen were supposed to be quite smart, you know, considering they used tools and stuff.
Well, they did paintings and stuff.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they were aware of what they were doing.
So, we've got this hairless creature thing, and it's killed this guy's parents.
Yeah.
there's a rule along here, so I don't know if this is supposed to mean time's passed or something.
Probably.
It propped my dad up on the edge of my bed and made him face me. It then sat my mother down in the chair and positioned her towards me as well. It then started rubbing its hands upon the wall, staining them with blood, and then drew a circle with the devil's pentagram in it. So it's doing cave painting right there.
Yeah.
Okay. This thing had made what it would probably call a masterpiece. Type drop.
Yeah.
To finish it off, it scribbled a message onto the wall that I could not read in the darkness. It then positioned itself under my bed, waiting to strike. The scariest thing is now, my eyes having adjusted to the darkness since then, I can read the message on the wall. I don't want to look at it because it's terrifying to think about, but I feel I need to see before I'm killed. I peek at the creature's masterpiece. I know you're awake.
Yes.
So what do you do after that? And do you? I mean, the creature's not going to know that you've just read the masterpiece, so...
Yeah. So you either stay there for a little while or longer to see if it gets bored and kill you anyway, or, I don't know. I mean, what happens when it suddenly gets light outside and, you know, morning breaks?
I was only need to pee.
Well, that'll be a while. I mean, he's just peed.
No, that's true, yeah. That's good. So the thing is, the thing's going to be trolling him, isn't it?
Yeah.
So anyone can sneak into the room, but I know you're awake, because when you're awake, you're reading it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's
on the reflection, not the scariest
message. He
doesn't
necessarily know that he's awake, he's just written that on there just to freak him out.
Now, the first time I read this, or someone read this, I thought, that's brilliant, that's actually really scary, but looking back on it now, that figure's just written a message which makes sense in the context.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think of that one? Prehistoric caveman slaughters presumably terrifying child's parents.
Yeah, at least a teenager or something. I'm not sure exactly how old this guy is. It's probably one of the better creepypastas I've seen you listen to over the however long you've been into creepypastas.
I don't know, I've had this kind of on-off relationship with creepypasta. I do like them. But I don't like it when they add like animated GIFs, however you want to pronounce it, of like the troll GIFs where it looks like a static image and then it moves.
Yeah.
Like one frame, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Not that I've never done that before.
No.
But I've tried writing some. I'm not very good at horror. It's not my strongest suit.
What you wrote last year was pretty good.
Yeah, it was alright.
Yeah.
There's probably a link to that in the description on the blog post where this is going up.
Hopefully.
I'm tempted to actually do another one, but I haven't got anything to write about at the moment, so.
Brainstorm ideas at some point.
I'll have a look. So that was the masterpiece. I've got one here I actually read about 10 minutes ago. This is off of the Creepypasta Wiki. This one's a bit longer, but let's give it a go.
Okay.
The strangest security tape I've ever seen.
Interesting.
I work at a gas station in rural Pennsylvania. It's a boring job, but it's pretty easy and it pays all right. A few weeks ago, this new guy started. I'll call him Jeremy. Why are you calling him Jeremy? What is his name?
Apparently, they need to keep their name secret for the purposes of this story.
I'll call him Jeremy. Jeremy is weird. He's about 25 or 26, and he hardly speaks. That's that could be anyone.
Yeah. He's 25 or 26. Well, maybe that's why he has to call him Jeremy. He doesn't actually know his name, because he's never actually told him.
He's got the creepiest laugh I've ever heard. So, as I say, somewhere along those lines, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's not creepy.
That's not creepy. No. My boss and I both noticed this, but it's never been a problem. So there's not much we can do about it. What creepy laugh.
Yeah.
Customers have never complained about him, and he's always done his job fairly well. Up until a few weeks ago, anyway, that's when things started going missing. Employee theft can be a problem at any business that sells consumer goods, and there's only one person working at a time at this gas station. It's a pretty small place. About 2 weeks ago, my boss started noticing that we were short on motor oil. At first, it was a few containers at a time, then entire shelves and boxes from the back room. Pretty soon, entire shipments would be gone the day after we'd got them, and it would always be right after Jeremy's shifts. My boss has checked the security camera tapes from every single night he worked, but he can never catch him in the act. Jeremy would lock up at closing, then the motor oil would be gone the next day. So Jeremy's stealing oil, basically.
Yes. But apparently he's being very smart about it somehow.
So far, the only terrifying aspect of this is the book's not bouncing at the end of the year.
Yes.
Undeclared losses! Oh my!
Not the shrink!
My boss usually takes the tapes home with him to try and catch Jeremy stealing, but his daughter had a softball game last night, so he asked me to watch the tape for him. He offered to pay me overtime under the table, so obviously I took the offer. There are 3 cameras, so he gave me 3 different tapes to check. I figure it'd be a long night, but I'm trying to save up for... It's weird. I don't know why I suddenly said that. Let's try it again. I figured it would be a long night, but I'm trying to save up for vacation, so I really need the money. I took the tapes home, popped them in an old VCR, and sat back. Frankly, it's just a miracle he's got a VCR. Who the fuck's got a VCR these days?
Maybe it's a very old story.
Pennsylvania, that's 5 years behind everyone else or something.
Possibly.
2 days ago, the last time he worked, Jeremy started at 4 p.m. Everything seemed pretty normal at first. He counted up his drawer, switched off with the girl who was working before him, and waited for a customer. The first person who came in was Mrs. Templeton. The timestamp on the video read 4:03, a regular. She picked up her cigarettes and a newspaper and paid for 20, nothing unusual there. The next customer was some local guy named Ron. He drives a motorcycle, usually comes in every few days. He filled up his tank, got a bag of beef jerky, paid with his credit card, and then left. Next was some guy with a cowboy hat. I'd never seen him before, but we get plenty of strangers passing through, just like at any gas station. He got $40 worth of diesel fuel, paid $100 bill, dick, and went on his way. I sat back inside. The only thing more boring than doing this job is watching someone else do it, or read about someone else watching someone else doing
yeah.
it. Sorry, I'm adding that bit.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. My boss's offer was enough to keep me watching, though, so I left the tape on. Everything seemed pretty normal. I had a feeling that if Jeremy was stealing motor oil, he knew that we were suspicious of him by now. I didn't expect him to be dumb enough to let us catch him on camera. Things stayed boring and routine until about 5 o'clock. At 5:03, Mrs. Templeton came back in. She must have forgotten something. But she didn't. She bought the same pack of cigarettes as before, and the same newspaper. She paid with another 20. That's odd, I thought, but then again, she's a little absent-minded. I thought Jeremy should have told her she already got her smokes, but it's not against the rules to sell someone the same thing twice. That's when Ron came in again. He bought another tank of gas for his motorcycle again. I later checked the outdoor camera because I thought maybe he had another car he wanted to fill up, and the same pack of beef jerky. He paid with his credit card again. No big deal. I thought this was just a weird coincidence. Mrs. Templeton is forgetful, and Ron probably owns more than one Harley. Lucky guy. That's when the guy in the cowboy hat came back in. I felt a chill run down my spine. Don't get diesel. Don't get diesel, I found myself whispering to my empty living room. But he did. He got $40 worth of diesel fuel and paid with another $100 bill. Guy's loaded. Every move he made was identical to his first visit, right down to the way he scratched his nose before he walked out. Either this guy is rich, owns a lot of trucks, and just moved into town, or something really bizarre was happening. I kept watching.
Do you not think to check the timestamp just in case this Jeremy person managed to get the tape and just stitch it together, loop it.
To be fair, the timestamp is actually increasing here. It's going up an hour. Yeah. So maybe, but yeah, as you said, you know, Jeremy could just be a whiz with After Effects or something.
Yeah.
Well, that's a bitch getting it back on the tape, though.
I know.
That means you'd have to take it off the tapes onto a computer, digitally edit everything, and then somehow record it back onto the tapes.
Yeah, without anyone noticing you doing it as well.
I mean, he could have spliced it by hand, but then that implies he's got all the tools and knives and all the bits to copy film. It's not an easy process.
It's not an easy process, no.
It's dangerous stuff as well, chemicals and all the rest of it for handling films, and I don't know. So something suspicious is going on.
Very suspicious.
Jeremy is serving the same people over and over.
Basically.
Where was I? Okay. Every customer for the next hour is the same as before. Every single one. I was seriously freaked out, and then at 6:03, Mrs. Templeton walked back in. She bought her cigarettes and newspaper again and paid for 20 again. I thought I was going to lose it. Calm down, man. tape. I only watched another half hour before I started fast-forwarding through the rest. It was all the same. Every customer would come in at the exact same times, exactly 1 hour apart. Now, I know what you're thinking. That sneaky motherfucker Jeremy had messed with the tapes. See?
Does it actually say that?
Yes. He's on to us, see this guy.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Yeah, yeah. He had run a loop of his first hour of business over and over. That wasn't the case. There are windows around the cash register area that the camera covers, and I watched the sunlight fade as time ran on. Jeremy's routine didn't loop over. He swept, mopped, and restocked, and did all his duties exactly as you would expect. But the same customers kept coming in.
Huh.
Genius. This guy's like employee of the fucking year.
Yeah, how the hell are you managing? They
get the same people to pay for shit over and over.
Yeah.
What's the problem? I was panicking at this point. Something was seriously wrong with what I was seeing, and I had no explanation for it. I skipped ahead to when he locked up and walked back to his car. He hadn't stolen anything, but I kept watching just to make sure. I fast-forwarded one last time to about midnight. At exactly 12:03, out of nowhere, Jeremy's face pops up on camera. I don't mean he moved his head into view. I mean that 1 second the store was empty, and the next second his face was all I could see. He wasn't looking at the camera, he was looking at me. I was sure of it. I screamed and fumbled for the remote. By the time I grabbed it, he was gone, just as soon as he had left. One frame he was there, the next he wasn't. My hands were shaking like crazy, but I popped in another tape. The other indoor camera shows the back area, by the cash register. And I would be able to see how he got up to put his face in the camera like that. I skipped ahead to 12:03, but there was nothing. I would have been able to see him standing on a chair or something on this tape, but he wasn't there. I didn't see him enter the store at all after he left. It's like he really wasn't there. He doesn't know the security code, and no alarms were triggered that night after he locked up. What I did see, however, was that at 12:03, the motor oil vanished off the shelf. All of it. Same as Jeremy's face. 1 second it was there, and next it wasn't. I turned the tape off and went to bed, but I didn't get a wink of sleep. It's only motor oil, you know.
Very expensive.
Very expensive. My body is exhausted right now, but my mind is racing. That tape was undoubtedly the creepiest, most disturbing thing I've seen in my life. You need to get a fucking life, mate.
He does.
That's okay, yeah. Just a face popping up on a tape and some motor oil vanishing.
And I mean, also again, the same people coming in over and over and over again doing the exact same things.
What's the problem? They're paying money for it.
Yeah.
As long as the money's in the cash register at the end of the day.
True.
Boss should be promoting this guy. Jeremy, you're a fucking genius. A little bit creepy, but you've done well for the business.
Yeah. So apart from all that, that's what actually happened, and that they actually got all the money and stuff.
That's it, the end. I work in a few hours. My boss asked me to bring the tapes back in and let him know what I found, but really, what the hell am I going to say? Jeremy works the night shift tonight directly after me. The plan is for my boss to come in just before I leave and confront him with me, as I'm supposed to be the one who caught him stealing. I have no idea what I'm going to do. I suppose I'll have to show my boss the tapes, but I don't want to watch them with him. I never want to see something like that again. I can't get the image of Jeremy just smiling directly into the camera out of my mind. It was the creepiest look I've ever seen on another human being's face. Anyway, I'm going to try again to get some last-minute sleep before I have to go in and deal with this. I'll let you guys know what happens. Update, dated 2:49 p.m. Updating from my phone, apologies in advance for errors. My boss just finished watching the last of the tapes. I told him what to expect, but you can't really prepare someone for something like that. He's scared shitless. I still am too. And Jeremy is due to come in at 4. We've got a little over an hour to get our shit together, but neither one of us knows what to say to him. Is he just a fucked up guy who likes to steal motor oil and scare the shit out of people? Or is he something else? I don't know if this is crazy, but does anyone think he could have anything to do with the time loop? My boss said he never knows surfing like that in the other tapes, but the way he popped up in this one made me think he knew I would be watching. It's like he wanted me to see what he could do. Like he was showing off or something. The way he smiled into the camera was like a little kid showing you a sandcastle it spilled or something. I don't know, I probably sound crazy. Yes, yes you do. I sure feel the part. I'm going to talk to my boss some more. We have to calm ourselves down and figure out how to handle this. I'll update again tonight, but I have a really bad feeling about how this is going to play out. Update, 4:33 p.m. No sign of Jeremy. Tried calling him, but his phone has been disconnected. We're calling the police. Update, 5:33 p.m. No sign of Jeremy. Tried calling him, but his phone has been disconnected. We're calling the police. Update, 6:33 p.m. No sign of Jeremy. Tried calling him, but his phone's been disconnected. We're calling the police. Update, 7:33 p.m. No sign of Jeremy. Tried calling him, but his phone has been disconnected. We're calling the police. Update, 8:33 p.m. No sign of Jeremy. Tried calling him, but his phone has been disconnected. We're calling the police. Update, 10:58 p.m. Holy shit. Holy shit, holy shit, holy shit. I just got home and saw my previous updates. Things make less sense now than ever. Here's what I can tell you. I went to work. Jeremy never showed up. My boss and I decided to call the police, as you're well aware. Yeah, I fucking am. Yeah. When I picked up the phone to call, though, the sun went out. I shit you not, that's what I thought happened. Apparently I blacked out for exactly 5 hours, because when I looked at the clock, it was 9:33. I think I got stuck in Jeremy's time loop, and I snapped out of it at the exact point I blacked out, if that makes sense. But that's when things got really weird. My boss was right next to me while I blacked out, ready to corroborate my story to the cops. When I came to, the phone was in my hand, but it was dead. Not even a dial tone. My boss was right there, but he wasn't moving. He was standing up, but frozen. I looked at the clock again, and it wasn't moving. The second hand was stuck on the 12. It was 9:33 exactly. The clock on the register, computer screen, wasn't moving either. My phone was frozen. There was even a customer at the register waiting for my boss to get him cigarettes. I'm betting that would have been his fifth pack of the day. I got the fuck out of there. Didn't lock up, didn't turn the lights out. Sorry, guys, I didn't grab the security tapes to upload on the internet. It's probably the last thing on my mind as well. Yeah. Because, again, pain in the ass, you'd have to get the software to actually pull the tapes off and put them online. You can't just feed VHS into YouTube yet.
Yeah, plus he keeps saying that he's absolutely scared what was on these tapes, so why would he suddenly say, you know what, I'm going to go through these tapes again so I can put them on the internet.
And who's going to sit and watch 5 hours of footage?
I know. Unless he's just going to edit the choiciest bits.
Believe me, the gas station is on a major highway and cars were parked all along it, except they weren't parked, they were frozen. People inside were sitting still as wax statues. I got in my car and prayed that it would start. Thankfully, it did. About halfway home, time started up again. Surprised that the car can move, actually, given that time's frozen.
Yeah, apparently.
Static from the radio turned into music, like it's supposed to be. No shit. And from what I could tell, by listening to the host talking between songs, no one noticed the time freeze, or whatever it was. I was the only one. Well, I'm sure Jeremy noticed as well. I still have no clue where he is or what he's doing. I'm hiding in my room and calling the police again in the morning. I don't know if I ever got through to them, or if I did, whether they took me seriously. I'm scared for my life at this point. I'll update tomorrow, if I can. Final update, 10:33 a.m. I finally fell asleep last night around 4 o'clock. I have no idea how I did it. I guess exhaustion finally got the best of me. This morning I woke up to my phone ringing. It was my boss. He'd been calling me since about 6. He woke up when time turned back on last night and immediately called the cops. They came by to see what was wrong and he told them everything. The police around here are all small-time guys. They were more concerned with the missing motor oil than anything, but my boss figured he would take it as long as he had their attention. They decided to go looking for Jeremy. So, yep, typical police.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure, crazy time loop, but we'll take on the motor oil case.
Yeah.
We keep all our employees' applications on file, and since Jeremy just started working here, his was easiest to find. They checked the address on it and headed over to his house. You're not going to believe what they found. The address Jeremy listed on his application was an empty lot. Or at least now it is. There used to be a house there, but it burned down in 1993. Being a small town, almost everyone remembers that fire. A family of 4 used to live there way back when. Rumour had it they had an estranged son who they never really talked about, but I can't say for sure if that's true. What I can say is true is that after an insurance investigation, the fire was ruled as an arson. The entire house was soaked in oil and torched with a Molotov cocktail. The entire family was sleeping when it happened. None of them survived. They never caught the guy who did it. Rumour has it that when they tried to contact their estranged son, no one could find him. Anyway, my boss called me and told me this, and I freaked out. Then he asked me to come to the gas station. What, are you crazy? I said, but he assured me that the cops were there with him. Then he dropped the bomb. The FBI were also in town, and they were going to talk to me one way or another, so I might as well come in. It was about 7:15, and I wanted to go back to bed, but I figured I wouldn't be able to sleep much more anyway, so I went down. 4 men in suits greeted me and told me to have a seat. We went over everything 2 or 3 times until they got all the details down. I told him about Jeremy, the security tape, last night at work, everything. Finally, after I finished, one of the agents said, "Oh Christ, we've got another one on our hands." And then they made me sign a bunch of papers saying I wouldn't tell anyone about what happened, so I can't say much more. I might be breaking the law just by posting this. Well done, shithead.
Well done.
So now I'm home. I'm not sure what to do with myself. That agent's words when I told him the story are going to haunt me for the rest of my life. Anyway, I've got to go. I have some errands to run today, and then I have to go into work to pick up some tapes. My boss and I think this new guy, Jeremy, he's a complete creep, is stealing motor oil, and I have to watch security footage to see if I can catch him doing it. I have better things to do. My boss is paying me overtime under the table, and I'm trying to save up for vacation so I could really use the money. Should be pretty simple. The oil always goes missing right after his shifts. I think I'll just watch the tapes, catch him in the act, and that will be that.
So, time loop?
Yeah, so basically the entire thing's a time loop. Although you would expect someone to post, if he's posting this online, yeah. Or like this post has been marked as a duplicate, like one of ten.
Yeah, probably.
I have a couple of theories. Jeremy might have been Jeremy Beadle.
Okay.
From the old show Watch Out Beadle's About.
Okay.
And it was one big camera show.
Maybe.
And my other theory is that Jeremy is actually Bernard from the show Bernard's Watch.
Maybe.
And it's just because if I was that kid Bernard, I'd have grown up just started fucking with people.
Yeah.
If you had the ability to stop time with your magic watch, what else would you do?
Yeah, well, I think the implication there is that the guy has time powers and he decided to commit arson by burning down his family's house. But first he needed motor oil, so he went to the future, grabbed a load of motor oil from a random gas station, and then went back in time, burnt down his house.
I never even thought of that.
That seems to be the implication, but wow. That just sounds really, really ridiculous.
That's a long way to go just to burn down your family house.
I know.
So what did you think of that one?
It was very, very weird and long-winded.
It was a bit, wasn't it? It was more of a kind of curiosity you'd expect to see in, like, Tales of the Unexpected, which was the old show that we used to have on the TV in this country, wasn't it? Where all the episodes were written by Roald Dahl. And I remember one of the twists was Richard Pryor is trying to run a tea company and make it a franchise.
Yeah.
And there seems to be a problem. He doesn't ever want to commit to signing paperwork.
Huh.
And the big twist to that episode of this horrifying tale was, I can't read or write.
Oh my God.
I know. I think that was pretty, like, shocking back in the day. But when you watch it again, you're like, really? That was the twist?
Yeah.
I thought it was going to turn out like he'd hacked his wife up or something. But yeah, the other ones like the house that bled and things like that. But that wasn't really terrifying, was it? There was a bit with the face on the tape.
Yeah.
But that's about it. Right. Okay. Let's see what else we've got here. Oh yes. Okay. Here's a site called I Know You're Awake, which is always a good thing.
Yeah. So I guess they've based that title off
the masterpiece.
Yeah.
There's a couple of short ones here that I'm going to read out.
Okay.
My daughter won't stop crying and screaming in the middle of the night. I visit her grave and ask her to stop, but it doesn't help. My wife woke me up last night to tell me there was an intruder in our house. She was murdered by an intruder 2 years ago.
Oh my God.
You get home tired after a long day's work and ready for a relaxing night alone. You reach for the light switch, but another hand is already there.
Ooh, weird.
Yeah, but it doesn't say that.
Yeah, obviously that's the implication there is it's an intruder or something.
Yeah, but that's a bit crap.
Yes.
I woke up to hear knocking on glass. At first I thought it was the window until I heard it come from the mirror again.
Again?
Yeah. Oh, that wacky mirror man just keeps knocking on our mirror.
Turns out he's just a patient in a mental ward and it's one of those two-way mirror things.
I don't know. I'd be tempted to... are you referencing that game, Evil Within?
Maybe. I'm just basically saying it's one of those mirrors that's actually a window on the other side. So the doctor's on the other side that's kind of trying to wake you up for your meds or something.
So you have to deal with that. Basically, you get a bit of paper and you say, no salespeople. Yeah. No religion, no politics, no creepy murderers, no demons. Yeah. And then you stick that on the mirror, facing inwards, so the right thing's facing the mirror.
Yeah,
that'll clear up your mirror man problems.
Yeah,
they leave you alone after that. Normally,
you
like,
hope so.
Oh, sorry, didn't realise it was being an inconvenience.
Yes.
I don't know. There was a picture in my phone of me sleeping. I live alone.
Okay, creepy.
After working a hard day, I came home to see my girlfriend cradling our child. I didn't know which was more frightening, seeing my dead girlfriend and stillborn child, or knowing that someone broke into my apartment to place them there.
Huh.
I can't move, breathe, speak, or hear, and it's so dark all the time. If I knew it would be this lonely, I would have been cremated instead.
Huh.
Makes you think.
Yes.
I begin tucking him into bed, and he tells me, Daddy, check for monsters under my bed. I look underneath for his amusement and see him, another him, under the bed, staring back at me, quivering and whispering, Daddy, there's someone on my bed.
Yeah, I've never heard that one before.
That one's quite creepy. I like
that
one.
That one's quite creepy. That one's
And then you punch the thing on the bed. Really hard.
Yeah, but which one's the one that's actually your child? Because presumably he's just taken that child into his room and put him on the bed. So,
yeah,
what's underneath the bed?
Yeah.
Because normally when you're putting a child to bed, you know, you take him into the bathroom, make sure they brush their teeth first or something. It depends how old the child is, really.
So you're saying that we can't trust that the one on the bed is necessarily the real one?
Yeah, it could be the one under the bed that's the monster.
Okay. That's a difficult
It's
one.
A head-scratcher.
I don't know how you deal with that.
Quick, son, tell me something good that you would know.
You would know!
I'm free! There's another step I don't know.
I can't sleep, she whispered, crawling into bed with me. I woke up cold, clutching the dress she was buried in. There's nothing like the laughter of a baby. Unless it's 1 a.m. and you're home alone.
Creepy.
Anyway, I'm not going to scroll too far down, because it's creepy images.
Yeah. There's Tumblr and stuff.
Tumblr! That's punchline.
Yes, Tumblr.
Right, here's another one I've pre-read, so I know where this is going.
Okay.
Again, I'm a creepypasta wiki.
Okay.
This one's called They're Everywhere.
Oh dear.
I can't help it, Doctor, they're fucking everywhere. Nobody knows but me. Knows what, Larry? About the demons, they're everywhere. Tell me about the demons, Larry. What do they look like? Leathery, shiny black skin, spindly limbs with single claws for feet, wings like a reaper's cloth, and the eyes. The man on the couch shudders. What's wrong with their eyes, Larry? They're huge, and they take up half the face. They don't even look like eyes. They're like a million eyes clumped together, and they're red. Okay, enough about what they look like. What makes them so terrifying to you personally? Do the demons have an attraction to you? What is it you don't like about them? Well, I know all kinds of things about them. They go into graveyards and crawl into the earth and feast on the flesh of corpses at night. They get into food and poison it with their own vomit. They eat rotting carcasses of animals right off the sides of the roads. They float around people who don't notice them, but they pop their claws into their flesh and inject them with disease and rot and all the pain of all the corpses they fed on before. Yeah, I've actually just clicked on something. Spoilers, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They're disgusting loathsome creatures and... Okay, Larry, now tell me where you've seen these demons. Everywhere in the park, they hover in the air behind families and people don't even see them. Then they pop their claws into their flesh and they inject disease and... Okay, Larry, you've said that before. Now, I need to see you twice a week from now on. Are Wednesdays and Fridays good for you? Larry nods as he is led out the door by two escorts in white. When it opens again, the psychiatrist's secretary walks in. Did you find out why that schizophrenic wrote he's anything? Yes, I'm afraid he'll have to be force-fed for a while longer, though. He thinks demons are everywhere, poisoning food. We're going to have to find a way to get rid of his pteranarchophobia. What? The fear of flies.
Yeah, I kind of figured that was it.
Yeah. That's... And again, that's like a twist there, I think. I thought that was quite nice.
Yep. The moment they said about the eyes, I think, huh, that's just like fly's eyes. It's a fly, isn't it?
He's scared of flies.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, flies are gross. They throw up on stuff and they eat dead people. And
yeah.
Look, I lose sleep over it, though.
No.
It's the spiders that can crawl into my mouth that I'm more worried about.
Yeah, spiders don't actually crawl into your mouth, though.
Yeah, I mean, they're usually clever enough to not do that.
Yeah.
I've got one here. I'm going to read the title out.
Okay.
Not sure you want to hear about this one, but this one's called Normal Porn for Normal People.
Okay.
I have pre-read it. It's not...
It's not smut.
Not smutty.
Okay.
It's just a bit weird. It's creepy. Creepy being the entire point of Creepypasta.
Yes.
You willing to give it a go? Yeah?
Uh-huh.
You sound thrilled.
It's fine.
Everybody knows that if you've surfed the web long enough, you'll see some pretty sick shit. Rule 34. This is especially true if you intentionally dwell into the dark underbelly of the internet, the dark web.
Yes.
I've seen quite a few things I don't care to admit to, but one thing I'll always remember is a site called normalpornfornormalpeople.com. Mm. Who would type that into their browser for a start?
Someone who's very worried that they've got extreme fetishes and want to just check.
So they go to a site specifically for normal porn for normal people?
Yes, okay. Just to see if it measures up against the stuff they've been watching.
The first strange thing about the site was that I didn't find it by actually looking for it. No, of course not. Yeah, go on then. Pull the other one, it's got bells on. It was emailed to me by someone I didn't know. Yeah, those Nigerian scam artists always sending me porn links. The email was as follows. Hi there, found this site is very nice, thought you might like. Normalpornfornormalpeople.com, pass it on for the good of mankind. Kind of shit, aren't you? Get my inbox, to be fair, but not if you porn links. Usually scam artists. Yeah. Your account has been hacked. Please sign in with your details. Okay. I'll go to this random blog that's got wpadmin/hackville or whatever it is in the web address. Pretty standard issue chain letter, although the URL and the last remark really piqued my curiosity. I was having a very boring day when I got this, so I made sure my antivirus was working, and I clicked on it. I always get bored and look at random porn links, don't know about you. It was a very average, very generic-looking site. Like GeoCities, I guess, or something.
Yeah, probably.
It gave the impression that the creators just barely gave a shit about making it look professional. The author seemed to have a very tenuous grasp on English, and on the front page was a long, boring, and incoherent rant that I don't remember or have saved. Thanks for telling us about it.
Yeah.
The site had a strange tagline, which even today people haven't figured out the meaning of, which was, normal porn for normal people. This is normal porn for normal people.
Yes.
It's a local shop for local people.
Yes.
League of Gentlemen used to terrify the shit out of me.
Yeah, me too.
Normal porn for normal people, a website dedicated to the eradication of abnormal sexuality.
Okay, that sounds slightly worrying.
And from the sound of that, I wasn't sure whether I was here to watch porn. Well, you are.
Or, yeah, if he was meant to be.
Or if I had stumbled onto some kind of eugenics program. But I was here now, and I was very, very curious to see what normal people get their rocks off to. Here's a hint, tits and ass. So I scrolled down, through the rant, and nothing. The page didn't seem to link to anywhere else. And I was about to leave when I noticed every word of the rant was its own hyperlink. So I clicked one of them, and was sent to a white page with a very long list of links in the form of normalpornfornormalpeople.com/random letters. So I stopped for a minute, and asked myself if I really wanted to waste God knows how much time clicking random links that would likely give me a virus that will rape my computer. I figured I'd just try it for maybe 5 minutes, just to see if anything came up. I clicked one of the links, and was sent to another page. This page apparently had totally different URLs than the last one.
Hmm.
Yeah, okay. Just... incidentally, what's this guy going to say when he does fuck his computer up? I wasn't looking at porn. It was definitely some sort of thing that someone sent me. Yes.
Yes.
I was about to say fuck this when I clicked on the third link, and a video download came up. It was called peanut.avi.
Peanut.
It was a 30-minute video of a man, a woman, and a dog in a kitchen. The woman would make a peanut butter sandwich, and the man would set it down for the dog to eat. This was all that happened for 30 minutes. It was obvious that the cameraman had to stop filming and wait until the dog was ready to eat again, and the dog seemed rather sick of it by the end of it.
Huh.
What do we think so far about peanut.avi?
Bit strange.
now mention it, there's actually a site I've subscribed to on Tumblr called Memory Hole.
Okay.
And it's entirely seems to be randomly collected footage from submissions to America's Funniest Home Videos.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, the really creepy stuff.
Yeah.
But there was that thing I showed you the other day of the man with shaving cream all over his face with an 8-ball in his mouth.
Just I don't remember you actually showing me that, but okay.
Well, that's what was on the screen, and I was like, what the hell is this?
Huh.
But then you got, like, photo, film, like, short clips of, like, grandfathers and their teeth, like, doing, making funny faces. And
oh, yeah.
It just looks really creepy, because it's got that kind of filmic 90s shitty old camera.
Yeah, the grainy effect. The grainy effect.
It looks really bad. But this reminds me of that.
Okay.
I'll put a link to Memory Hole. It will fuck you up.
Yeah.
I know what you're thinking. But incidentally, Memory Hole is not redirected from normal porn from normalpeople.com. I did not find it by that.
I didn't ask.
But just anyone listening is going to say, how the hell did Sean find this Memory Hole thing? What kind of hole was he looking for?
Okay. You find the weirdest crap.
I find the weirdest crap. I know what you're thinking. What the hell does this have to do with porn? I have no clue. I've seen a little over 24 videos to the site, and the majority had no sexual activity at all. This man's very disappointed, I think.
Yes.
After watching peanut.avi, I went on a certain image board I frequent, 4chan probably, yes.
Probably.
Yeah. To play online show and tell, like I always do with weird shit like this. But someone had already made a thread about it. Some guy had received the same chain letter I did. The image board thread got lots of people with nothing better to do to dig through the site, and that's how I saw the other videos. 4chan.
So yeah, that's what 4chan does.
Most of those 24 videos were very uneventful, and consisted of people talking to the cameraman in a room with nothing in it but a desk and a few chairs. I mean, literally nothing on the walls in terms of furniture. The whole room had a very cold, sterile feel to it.
Okay.
The conversations were just idle banter about previous jobs or embarrassing childhood moments. I kept expecting some kind of discussion about what the people were filming or what the site was about. But of course, nothing. You would never know these videos had anything to do with porn if you saw it out of context. It's because they don't have anything to do with porn.
Yeah, it's just the
even
name.
In context.
It's like clickbait, isn't it?
Yeah, basically you've just accepted as a load of clickbait. What a mate. I will say one thing, though. The people who appeared in these videos were quite attractive. I don't like the impression that he still got his rocks off.
Oh, God.
Oh, that fucking dog. Yeah. Eat that peanut butter sandwich.
Oh, God. Yeah, you make that sandwich.
You make that sandwich. You wait for that dog to digest that sandwich. However, the other videos that actually did feature content, which I suppose could be called sexual, is where things got weird.
Okay.
I'll give brief description of the Stranger videos. If you're really eaten up with curiosity, you can try to hunt them down on torrent site. Yeah, sure. LickedClean.avi. Okay. A 10-minute video filmed by a hidden camera in which we see a repairman working on a washing machine for the first 2 minutes. When it's fixed, the repairman talks to the owner briefly and then leaves. The owner checks to make sure the repairman is gone, and he begins to lick all over the top of the washing machine. This goes on for 7 minutes.
That's weird.
Yes. Jimbo.avi. A 5-minute video of an obese mime performing his act. It was actually pretty funny, particularly one part where he pretends to put up a chair, then pretends that it breaks because of his weight. In the last 30 seconds of the video, the camera cuts to static briefly and cuts back to the man sobbing quietly, still wearing mime outfit and makeup. Some kind of obscure fetish? Of course, haven't you ever heard of the crying mime fetish?
Just mimes in general.
I'm sure it's out there.
I'm sure that there's someone out there with a fetish for mimes. Don't look for
no,
it.
No, we're going to find out now. I've got Google here. Let's just do a quick search.
Oh,
this.
God.
Crying.
There's a fetish for everything, so
fetish.
Of course there's going to be at least one person who's into it.
There we go. Well, No. Just a lot of artsy-fartsy pictures.
Okay, so it's not a well-known thing.
So that's probably the one fetish that doesn't exist. Okay, good to know. Diana.avi.
Oh, there.
4-minute video in which the cameraman talks to a woman in a room different from the interview room. This room looks like one you'd find in a normal person's house. Define normal. Exactly where they are is never specified, as Diana only talks about her violin playing. She obviously plays her violin, but she keeps getting distracted by something. I didn't notice this until someone on the image board thread pointed it out, but if you look in the mirror in the background, you can see a fat man in a chicken mask masturbating.
Yeah.
Sure. Another 4-minute cameraman video. Sorry, it's Jessica.avi, I missed the name of this one. This time he's outside a house talking to another young woman. They talk about canoe rides. I mean, that could be quite, you know, like, hey, is that a canoe in your pocket? Or you just happy to see me?
It's a bit strange.
The camera zooms out to reveal the city streets behind them occasionally. The strange thing is no one so far has been able to identify where the street is. Guesses have ranged everywhere from Europe to Australia to the Philippines, but there's yet to be a match for the street shown in the video. Google street map, you know.
Yeah, that's
people find all these things, you know.
Yeah.
Tongue-tie.avi. 10-minute video. The first 5 minutes consists of an elderly woman making out with a mannequin. The video cuts out like it did in Jimbo.avi halfway through, and the scene is now a group of mannequins huddled together in a circle around the camera. The lights have been dimmed, and the elderly woman is nowhere to be seen. From this point on, there is no sound.
Creepy?
Creepy, but not particularly scary.
No, it's kind of creepy.
Stumps.avi.
Stumps?
Stumps.
Okay.
Yeah. 5 minute long video where a man with no legs is attempting to break dance on a DDR mat in what looks like the kitchen from Peanut.avi, but much dirtier.
Okay. That's a bit strange.
I will be honest, I quite want to see that, actually. That sounds... I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
There's a radio playing music unseen in the background, but it stops at the 4 minute mark when a man collapses on a mat in exhaustion. He breathes heavily and pleads with someone off screen to let him rest. The off screen person becomes terrifyingly enraged and yells at him to keep dancing, which he does. You can hear this off screen person begin to scream as the video ends abruptly. I think the person's David Lynch. I think what we've done, found here is David Lynch's home movies.
Maybe.
Privacy.avi. The woman from Diana.avi is masturbating on a mattress in the interview room, while the man from Stumps.avi walks around on his hands while wearing some kind of goblin mask. there's no comment for that, really, is there? I got nothing.
Wow.
The door in this room was always closed in other videos, but now it's open. In this video, the only light is in the room, and the hallway is dark. Near the end of the video, you can see an animal quickly run through the hallway. And finally, the last video we uncovered is useless.avi. Let's see if there's... The names don't mean anything. I was wondering if there's going to be like some sort of message, like Lick, Clean, Jimbo, Diana, Jessica, Tongue-Tied, Stumps.
No.
Privacy. Useless.
No.
In this 18-minute video... Ooh. Going for length now.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Oh, God.
A blonde woman from one of the previous interview videos is tied down to a mattress in the interview room.
Okay.
She attempts to scream, but her mouth is taped over. After 7 minutes, a man in a black suit and mask opens the door, but he does not enter. He holds the door open for the animal that was running in the hall in the previous video. It's revealed to be an adult chimpanzee, its hair shaved and its entire body painted red. Seems to be starved and abused, with several wounds along its shoulders and back.
Bit weird.
When the chimp enters the room, the masked man closes the door behind it. The chimpanzee sniffs the air for a moment, it may have been blind, and notices the woman tied to the mattress. It goes into a frenzy and begins to maul her. The assault goes on for a grueling 7 minutes. This bloke watched every single minute, apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
Goes on for a grueling 7 minutes until the woman finally dies. The chimp eats flesh from her corpse for 4 minutes as the video ends.
Terrible.
The thread exploded with activity after this video was uncovered, and people discussed it long into the night. The internet.
Yeah, internet.
I think that's the real horror here.
It's the internet.
When I came back to the image board the next day, I found that the thread was deleted. I tried to start another one, and they banned me. Huh. I tried emailing the guy who sent me the chain letter at the site's URL, sent him 5 messages, and never got a response. No, it's probably because it's some guy in Nigeria, isn't it? Or China or something. I have tried to discuss this website on various places, but I got banned frequently. The site itself was also deleted about 3 days after useless.avi was uncovered, likely because someone contacted the authorities about it. The only proof that normalpornfornormalpeople.com ever existed was a few screen caps people took and videos from the site that people saved and uploaded on torrents, the most popular of which being useless.avi. Which found its way onto a few gore sites.
Naturally.
The irony being that normal porn for normal people had a video that was popular on a site for not normal porn?
Yes.
Okay. Wherever you upload them to, all of the videos from normalpornfornormalpeople.com get deleted after a while.
Mm.
And that's the end.
Okay.
So what do you think of that one?
Freaky.
Different.
Not scary, just kind of
freaky. No, I suppose that is, again, the essence of creepypasta. It's not necessarily something making you... You know, not for the night, but...
Yeah.
It's different, that one.
Definitely.
Definitely different. I don't suppose you got any creepypastas you want me to read specifically?
Not specifically, but then I don't go around collecting them normally.
Okay. Maybe if we do this again, you'll have to try and find some.
Maybe.
Okay.
What was that one you listened to the other day with Mr. What was it, the tree or leaf? I can't remember what it was called now.
I've listened to quite a lot. There's Markiplier has done a few, and then there's Guided Chocolate Rain's read a few.
It might have been the Chocolate Rain guy reading it.
I can't remember that one was.
No.
But there's a very good site called Chilling Tales for Dark Nights, which I listen to, and they record using professional voice actors, not some idiot in his bedroom or on his laptop. They get professional voice actors to do it. So I'm tempted to actually download some of those, actually, because they're pretty good.
Okay.
There's a plug there. We're not getting paid any money for this endorsement.
No.
I got one here. Bad dream.
Okay.
Daddy, I had a bad dream. You blink your eyes and pull up on your elbows. Your clock glows red in the darkness. It's 3:32 a.m. Do you want to climb into bed and tell me about it? No, Daddy. The opposite of the situation wakes you up more fully. You can barely make out your daughter's pale form in the darkness of your room. Why not, sweetie? Because in my dream, when I told you about the dream, the thing wearing Mummy's skin sat up. For a moment, you feel paralysed. You cannot take your eyes off of your daughter. The covers behind you begin to shift.
Creepy.
I quite like that one.
Yeah.
I actually prefer the smaller ones. The short ones are, when they're long-winded, they seem to take all the shock value out of them.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, here's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Don't close your eyes.
Okay.
Last night, my son came into my room. I woke up to him looking down at me with wide eyes. This was pretty unusual. He usually slept peacefully through the night and never had any nightmares of any kind. What is it, sweetie? I asked softly. I can't sleep, he replied. His eyes began to water a little bit, but he kept a straight face. What's wrong? I sat up and began to rub my eyes until my son interrupted me and pulled my hands away. Don't close your eyes, Mummy. It comes closer when you do that, he whispered. I stared at him. Tears began to fall from his eyes, and I realised he hadn't closed them since he came to my room that night. I looked out past the chilly, empty hallway and into my son's room. Nothing. After hearing my son suck in a horrified breath when I closed my eyes, something creaked in the house. My eyes opened to a dark, mangily hunched-over figure staring back at me with white, bloodshot eyes. It kept its gaze on me and mine on his. It felt like a staring contest, only whenever you blink, you lose, and it moves forward to greet you. I always hated games like these when I was a child. We've gone through 2 bottles of eye drops. Good thing I stocked up on an extra bottle. You might never know when you need them. The last one is almost gone now, and my son and I are drying up again. The figure in his room has made its move a couple of times from our mistakes and hasn't strayed from my doorway since. 2 hours. There's only 2 more hours until the sun is expected to come up, but I don't know if we can last it that long. I remember how great it feels to envelope my eyes under my eyelids. It's at the side of my bed now. My son cries with his eyes open, and it looks like it's helping him. It's too bad I'm the one with the case of dry eyes, and now I can feel its horrid, stinking breath upon my face.
Creepy.
Yes. No, the last two have been pretty good, haven't they?
Yeah.
Shock value ones.
I'm surprised that one they weren't able to grab a phone or, you know, close the door and lock it or something.
I wonder if the white-eyed thing is related to the thing that was doing the masterpiece.
Maybe.
Do you think these monsters have a club they meet up at? It's like,
yeah.
Hello, so. Steve. You know who I was scaring last night? Oh, it was a little girl and her father. They shat themselves inside out. It was hilarious. And then I ate his face.
I tend to think it more of a pretentious artist club where they're saying, oh yes, that's rather, I like what you did there. It was some very avant-garde.
The way his entrails were sprayed all over the walls, absolutely fantastic. Tracy Emin, eat your heart out. I've got one here, The Whistling Man.
Okay.
It's a rainy night and you are lying in bed texting a close friend. It's past 12 o'clock and the rest of your family is sound asleep. As the raindrops tap against your window, you notice another sound that doesn't fit in. Although the sound is coming from outside, it seems as though it is coming from inside of your house. It's the Whistling Man. Oh, well, it's like he's been there before then.
Yeah.
There's the implication there.
Yeah.
I never understood that because I pre-read this one and I was like, it's the Whistling Man?
Yes.
Is that a thing? He comes round regular?
Apparently.
Hello, I'm the Whistling Man, just doing all your whistling for you.
Sometimes get whistling men in our local supermarket just kind of going around the shop just whistling, and you always know where they are because all you can hear is this really badly out of tune.
Nobody is safe. Stay away from Tesco's. That's where the Whistling Man gets you.
Yes.
It's the Whistling Man. Motionless, you hear his cheerful tune. Cheerful tune grow louder as the source gets closer. You begin to panic inside, but remain stone on the outside. As soon as it began, the whistling suddenly ceases. Unsettled yet relieved, you continue texting your friend, mentioning the strange occurrence. Your friend agrees that it is peculiar, and then leaves to rest for the night. Eventually, dreams overcome you, and the event is pushed out of your mind. Okay. When you awaken, you notice a notification alert on your cell phone. Upon checking it, you are brought to a new email from your friend's mother, informing you of their son passing. That's quick.
Oh.
Shocked, you read through the entire message to find a sound file attached to it.
Huh.
Assuming it is important, you tap the link and the file opens up in your phone's web browser. You check the volume before pressing play. You lose all colour as that familiar whistling tune begins to flow from the speaker of your phone. Terrified, you immediately exit out from the page. The whistling does not cease this time. It's louder now. In fact, it's almost as though it's coming from behind you.
Oh, God!
I'm going to start whistling at night now, just to creep you out.
Don't. Be a bit weird.
Well, I mean, what tunes is he actually going to be whistling now?
Benny Hill theme, I don't know.
Right. For the last few, because I think we've only got, like, a fucking cat this in a minute, because my voice is getting pretty sore now.
Yeah, right.
Who I've got cold starting as well, so it's not this tone. Yeah. Oh, almost there now. Fantastic. I'm going to just randomly read a couple from Encyclopedia Dramatica,
all right.
Which is scary enough in itself. Notice there's a nice animated gif of naked women there. I've got the sound turned off, because I always expect someone on Encyclopedia Dramatica to be a troll and put some sort of horrible face that pops up on screen as you're reading. So I know some of the gifs down the side here actually do move occasionally.
Yeah.
So... I don't know if any of these are any good. I haven't pre-read any of these, so let's just give it a go. The Railroad. My cousin and I had gone to San Antonio, and we heard rumours of some haunted railroad tracks. The story was a school bus full of children had stalled on these tracks for a train coming. The train was going too fast for there to be time to get the children off, so they all died. When we finally found the tracks, we stopped the car, parking it right on the railroad tracks.
When did you do that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's illegal as well. Also... suicidal.
Very suicidal.
We were both a little nervous and scared and waited for something to happen. Just when we were about to leave, the car started rolling. We were both too freaked out to do any more than grab each other and gasp, eyes wide, mouths open. After what seemed like an eternity, but it was actually less than 5 minutes tops, the car stopped rolling. We looked around and we were off the railroad tracks. Now, that may not seem spooky, but what we saw next scared us enough to jump back in the car and make that 6-hour trip home that night. Both of us got out of the car and walked around to the back. After the first 6-hour drive, the car had accumulated quite a bit of dust on it. That's not scary, no, but what was scary was the little sets of handprints all over the back of the car, all the size of children's hands. I mean, that's not scary, really. That's like,
That's quite a helpful ghost, really.
Yeah, it's like Casper the Friendly Ghost and his friends, you know, just making sure that
you don't commit suicide.
Don't get killed. There's a nice image here of a creepy ghost girl approaching you and eating your face, basically. It's nice.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't move, I'm cool. Sarah O'Bannon. I know this one. This is a classic one.
Okay.
Coffins used to be built with holes in them attached to 6 feet of copper tubing and a bell. The tubing would allow for air for victims buried under the mistaken impression they were dead. In fact, that's true, wasn't it? That's actually what...
Yeah, I think so.
In a certain small town, Harold, the local gravedigger, upon hearing a bell one night, went to see if it was children pretending to be spirits. Sometimes it was also the wind. This time it wasn't either. A voice from below begged and pleaded to be unburied. "Are you Sarah O'Bannon?" Harold asked. "Yes," the muffled voice asserted. "You were born on September 17th, 1827? "Yes." "The gravestone here says you died on February 20th, 1857. "No, I'm alive. It was a mistake. Dig me up. Set me free." "Sorry about this, ma'am," Harold said, stepping on the bell to silence it and plugging up the copper tube with dirt. "But it is August. Whatever you are down there, you sure as hell ain't alive anymore, and you ain't coming up."
Creepy.
Oh, I hate that one. It's like a little image here of a dead face peeking over the end of the bed.
Yeah, I can't see from this angle. Yeah, that's just a black square.
Can't see the white eyes in it?
Nope, black square.
You try to troll me now.
It's not really, that's just a black square from this angle.
Wristbands. When you're admitted to a hospital, they place on your wrist a white wristband with your name on it. But there are other different coloured wristbands which symbolise other things. The red wristbands are placed on dead people. There was one surgeon who worked the night shift in a school hospital. He had just finished an operation and was on his way down to the basement. He entered the elevator and there was just one other person in there. He casually chatted with the woman while the elevator descended. When the elevator door opened, another woman was about to enter when the doctor slammed the close button and punched the button to the highest floor. Surprised, the woman reprimanded the doctor for being rude and asked why he did not let the other woman in. The doctor said, "That was the woman I just operated on. She died while I was doing the operation. Didn't you see the red wristband she was wearing?" The woman smiled, raised her arm and said, "Something like this." Quite like that one.
Yeah.
That's a good one, actually. It's like a good punchline.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Just have a quick look here on it. Crappy Pasta. I might have to do that this year. So there's a website I found called Crappy Pasta. And it's got some really terrible creepypastas on it.
Okay.
Just awful, but they're all fucking massive, which is probably why they're not.
Yeah, probably why they're terrible. They put too much detail in and took out all the scary.
I think this seems to be the formula for a good creepypasta, is keep it short and sweet.
Yeah.
Hit the, scare factor.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously they fall apart if you look into them too much.
Yeah. But...
okay, just a few more then. Might go for another half an hour, and then we'll see.
Okay, how's your voice?
I'm all right. I'll just have a quick drink. This week's podcast is sponsored by Schweppes, the best lemonade.
Okay.
These are from TV Tropes.
All right.
Recommended from various conversations. No name on this one. There was a hunter in the woods who, after a long day hunting, was in the middle of an immense forest. It was getting dark, and having lost his bearings, he decided to head in one direction until he was clear of the increasingly oppressive foliage. Didn't take a map with him.
No.
Didn't tell anyone who was out there either, so. No. Good idea.
Smart guy.
After what seemed like hours, he came across a cabin in a small clearing. Realising how dark it had grown, he decided to see if he could stay there for the night. He approached and found the door ajar. Nobody was inside. The hunter flopped down on the single bed, deciding to explain himself to the owner in the morning. As he looked around, he was surprised to see the walls adorned by many portraits, all painted in incredible detail. Without exception, they appeared to be staring down at him, their features twisted into looks of hatred. Basically, they all look like Peter Capaldi.
Okay.
Angry eyebrows. Attack eyebrows. All angry. Staring back, he grew increasingly uncomfortable. Making a concerted effort to ignore the many hateful faces, he turned to face the wall, and exhausted, he fell into a restless sleep. Face down in an unfamiliar bed, he turned blinking in unexpected sunlight. Looking up, he discovered that the cabin had no portraits, only windows.
Huh. Not quite what I expected. I was expecting him to wake up and find his own portrait up on the wall or something.
Yeah, that's quite a good twist. I mean, that's pretty much the ending of The Shining, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where Jack Nicholson's in the portrait of all the... Well, he's in the photographs of all the hotel staff.
Yeah.
I mean, I always assumed that meant that the hotel ate people.
Yeah.
And absorbed them.
Yeah.
Everyone took... I mean, a lot of people interpreted that as meaning that Jack Nicholson's character was already dead.
That too.
That doesn't make sense.
No.
I think it makes more sense that the hotel eats people.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, here's one I've also read before. You get a phone call from your mother... That's terrifying in itself, isn't it? Oh, God, it's Mum! Oh, no, she sent me a text that she's tried using... Oh, she's using 8 instead of... Yeah. She's typing out... Oh, man. That's a horror story.
M8 instead of mate. Oh, God, why?
Oh,
my.
No. And she's using number 4 rather than type out 4. My soul bleeds. You get a phone call from your mother. Since her car's been in the shop, she asks you to go to the grocery store and pick up a few odds and ends for her. Bread, milk, cereal, and chicken breasts. After writing down a small list, you reluctantly get in the car and pick up the items at the store. The lady cashier makes an odd remark to you. You know, we're in no danger of a milk shortage. Upon arriving at her house, you knock several times. No answer. You decide to try the door. It opens. You place the grocery bag on the counter. Strange, there seems to be six other grocery bags, each with identical contents. In a couple, the chicken and milk have gone bad. Mom, you call out, but no answer. You make your way through the kitchen and into the living room. Sitting on the couch, with her head cut off and neatly resting on her lap, is your mother. Naturally, you call the police to come over to investigate. They mention that she has been dead for nearly a week. Furthermore, the police psychiatrist is at the scene and talks to you after you give your initial statement. Sitting on the front steps, you overhear the psychiatrist talking about the You hear the psychiatrist talking with the crime scene investigator. It's not uncommon for people suffering from schizophrenia to get locked into a series of repetitive behaviours, he says. You think to yourself, they can't be talking about me. Schizophrenia? No way. Repetitive behaviour? Who do they think I did this? Suddenly your cell phone goes off. Hello? Hi, hon, it's me. Could you stop at the store and pick up some chicken and milk? Oh, and I need some bread and cereal too. No problem, Mum. I'll be right over. I don't know what to make of that. Is he killing random people and then taking them groceries or what?
I don't know. Well, no, because all the groceries he had been buying was in that one house.
Yeah,
so
that's not the best one. I got a long one here. Do you think we should do it? Is it just cap off?
Yeah, right. Let's see the long one.
Do one last long one.
Yeah.
This one's actually going to be it's been nominated for Creepypasta of the Month on Creepypasta Wiki.
Okay.
And the author here says it's his first Creepypasta, and it was some real spur-of-the-moment microfiction, so it's probably not the best I could produce. Critique is very much appreciated, though. That's from Terminal Dogma.
Okay.
So here we go. This one's called Home Cooked Meal. I had always been what some might call a picky eater. Like, simple as that. Ever since I was a little tyke, there were some foods I just wouldn't touch. No way, no how. Spinach, broccoli and Brussels sprouts, all the classic picky eater items made my list, as well as some odd ones like whole milk, popcorn and red meat. God, I hate red meat. Chicken and fish go fine by me, especially fried and crispy, but pork is sometimes okay, depending on the situation. But beef, veal, venison, mutton, all that stuff, you couldn't pay me to eat it. Too thick, too greasy, too, well, meaty, I suppose. It puts me right off. Fucking terrifying gif here, isn't it? It's just this thing rushing the camera. Absolutely terrifying. Okay. Lovely. Being a picky eater at all, I'm preferring the company of my video games and action figures to that of a sports team or whatever. I'm getting really, I'm really associated with this guy.
Okay.
This could be me. Just, I wrote this. This isn't me.
No.
Being a picky eater at all, I'm preferring the company of my video games and action figures to that of sports team or other more outdoorsy kids. I grew into your typical tall, pale, lanky, undefined teenage boy. To be frank, I sucked ass in gym class, and eventually I just stopped trying. And that combined with the fact that I hardly ate enough didn't exactly give me a figure of a young Adonis. Though most of my phenotype came from my mother's side, neither Chuck nor I inherited my father's blue eyes, thick blonde hair, or tendency towards clear skin. Instead, we got my mother's black hair, hazel eyes, and bounty of pimples at puberty's onset. I had my dad's genes, height-wise, so I shot up like a bean sprout. But try as I might, I never seemed to gain fat or muscle. Speaking of my dad, he was my best friend throughout the greater part of my childhood. He was a giant of a man, standing definitely above 6 feet. Of course, my childlike imagination, combined with my diminutive stature at the time, magnified his height greatly, and to me he seemed easily 20 feet tall. Not sure where this guy's going with this.
No.
When he let me sit on his shoulders, my little kid hands gripping tightly to his head through his well-trimmed, naturally blonde hair, I felt like I could see 3 blocks ahead. As I grew through puberty and started to shoot up to the old man's level, him and my mum constantly pushed me to eat more and get some real exercise. Though Dad had matured into somewhat pot-bellied but still mesomorphic office man working in claims adjustment, at my age he had been a real bodybuilder type, a buff, blonde, beach dude who'd like to surf, skateboard, and hit the gym. He'd often pass tips down to me and my younger brother, Chuck. Does that look like a nice guy?
Yeah.
Not scared at the moment, though.
No. Christmas be coming, though.
You gotta get your protein, guys. Meat's the best way to do that. Red meat. Gets you the iron need in your bloodstream, too, he would advise, usually while driving us to or from school. Mom was usually busy around the house or at some charity event, so Dad tended to be our chauffeur and playmate in our youth. That didn't mean Mom neglected us, goodness no, we just saw her less. But she was always there at mealtime, lovingly doling out helpings of whatever dish she'd prepared for the family that day. Mom had a habit that always did get on my nerves. From when I first learned to talk on through my whole childhood, I would always be sure to tell her exactly which foods I did not like. I did this in the hopes that she would take the hint and stop serving them to me. No, that's never going to work.
No.
That's what mothers are there for.
Yeah.
What I didn't count on was her persistence. She was a real health nut and believed ardently in the incomparable value of a balanced, wholesome diet. As such, she didn't like my dependence on junky convenience foods and wanted to get me eating things I didn't like. This meant a constant struggle between her, the loving but willful matriarch, and me, the stubborn little rascal who didn't want to eat his vegetables. Her methods were clever, though. When she learned I didn't like something, she never made it the same way twice. Mm. Interesting. Again, let's see. This is going in terms
Twist must be coming, though.
There's got to be a twist here. So, but this is a long one, so we could be here for a good 20 pages of this guy telling us about his picky habits.
Yeah, let's find out. Stuff. Okay.
I think an editor could have trimmed some stuff out of this.
Yeah.
If I turned my nose up at cabbage rolls at lunchtime, she'd make sure some cabbage would be grated into salad at dinner. When I shoved away a good hearty steak, she dished out ground beef sloppy joes the next day. She certainly was persistent, but I was a perceptive little bastard, and I caught on to her game early. There was one thing she always had over me in this game, though, and that was the emotional blackmail. I loved my mom, and it did tug at my heart a little to see her disappointment, but I turned my nose up at the meal she had slaved over that day. So eventually I would concede and half-heartedly pick up my food, moving everything around on my plate to make it look like I'd made an actual dent in it, and typically conclude my meal by saying that it tasted scrumptious, and I was just stuffed. I've done that before. Sometimes I'd pull the old kid trick and slip something off my table onto the floor for our dog. This little gambit seemed to do the trick for Mom, and she was happy to see her son was at least giving her meals a try. Generally, we had a happy family, for a while at least. If things didn't go sour, why would I be telling this story here? Let's clean my glasses a minute.
Okay.
What do you think this is going to go?
I don't know. I'm expecting it to turn out that they've been doing something weird with the meals or something.
The sourness came when my parents started to drift apart. They say that 50% of all marriages fail these days, but it never feels as staggering of a statistic as when you're actually experiencing it for yourself. My dad started sleeping at the office, and my mum started sleeping with the postman.
Huh.
She couldn't handle my dad's disinterest, as the only thing he seemed to care about anymore was a tough case he was assigned at work. When Dad caught on to Mom's infidelity, he was furious, and my parents' arguments would last late into the night, waking the neighbours up with litanies of profanity. The divorce was ugly, and it hurt all of us. My Mom got custody over us, but we were to stay at our Dad's place every weekend. Both of our folks seemed, well, really broken for a while. Dad stopped working out, his beer gut grew, and his apartment started to lack any touches of care. As for Mum, a lot of her unhappiness was internalised. She seemed all well and good during the day, sure, but when Chuck and I would stay up playing video games, we could hear her in the next room quietly sobbing. And when we snuck downstairs for midnight snacks, we could see the empty wine bottles cluttering the kitchen counter. Eventually, Dad got a new girlfriend, Clara. Oh no, not Clara. Who really encouraged him to clean up his act. She was no wicked stepmother, she was a genuinely nice lady, an elementary school teacher, actually. We were happy for him.
Oh, it really is Clara.
Yeah, this is going to turn into a Doctor Who fanfiction.
Yeah.
Is that name Danny Pink, just out of interest? We were happy for him. Coming to his apartment over the weekend started to seem less like a painful reminder of our parent separation, and more like pleasant time with a beloved family member. But Mom's condition seemed to rapidly deteriorate. Where Dad had found success looking for someone new to share his life with, Mom seemed to be stuck sifting through scumbags to try and find a new boyfriend. The ones we had met all turned out to be real heels. Boozers, liars, ex-cons, general no-good types that nobody ever wants to see their mother with. Her mental condition really seemed to take a hit with this, and we started to get even more concerned for her. We would hear her muttering to herself under her breath while doing her chores, folding laundry, cleaning windows, and most of all while cooking. Hey, asshole, how would you just offer to help do some stuff around the house if you're that concerned?
Yeah.
She was always muttering while cooking. What came out audible to us were only a few tidbits, quiet murmurs that seemed to revolve around health and balance, various spices and ingredients, and serving the best. She was clearly commenting on her cooking, forcing all of her native energy of her divorce, the failed dates, into trying to perfect her recipes. I started to notice her cooking with a lot more meat. She was always one for lighter recipes than vegetarian alternatives, so this came as a surprise to me. I considered maybe it was some sort of bodily response to stress, that she'd been craving meat as comfort food, see it through an emotional storm. But her condition overall concerned Chuck and I greatly, and we urged her to try and speak to a professional about it. She would always give us a gentle little smile and say she planned on finding a therapist, but we never really saw her take any measures to this end. One hot, lazy Thursday night in July, Chuck and I were getting ready to head off to our dad and Clara's apartment, just 40 minutes away at a bus station in town close to my dad's office. We tossed our school books in a bag and carefully stored our Xbox 360 and some games to take along, as they were the only thing that we really needed to transfer between houses. Both our parents' homes had our clothes, toiletries, and a place for us to sleep. We gave my dad a call about an hour before heading off, but nobody picked up. The line felt ominously dead. I tried to shake off the uncomfortable feeling and focus on the facts of the matter. This was odd, as he knew our visitation schedule by heart, would be expecting a call from us by now, but I waved it off. He was probably busy getting something ready. Chuck's birthday was only 5 days away on Tuesday, and Dad had mentioned putting together a nice little celebration for him when our time had rolled around. So we tossed the last of our stuff in the trunk. Mom called us for a quick dinner before we went. Let's see where this is going.
Yes, I can see her.
We sat down to empty plates, glossy white and clean as a whistle. The delicious smell of tomato sauce wafted from the kitchen, leaving me excited. Mom hadn't made spaghetti in a while, but hers was always the best I'd ever had. The noodles are simply the store-bought affair. You boil them and serve them, nothing fancy, but what really shines about it is her sauce. She makes it all from scratch, spices, herbs, ripe tomatoes, and works, and leaves it to simmer on the stovetop until the family is ready to eat. With a glance around the table, I noticed that only two places were set. I assumed Mom had eaten earlier, which was a little disappointing. Chuck and I liked to eat together with our Mom before leaving for our Dad's house. The last thing in the world we wanted was for her to feel alone while we were off having family time with her former husband and his new significant other. But the aroma of lovingly homemade pasta sauce allayed such worries, and Chuck called Mom asking if dinner was ready to eat. She came in with a piping hot strainer of pasta and wordlessly spooned out a portion for each of us. I can't wait to eat, Mom. It's been too long since you made your special spaghetti sauce, Chuck chirped, earning a warm smile from Mom. She responded happily. Well, Chucky, I'm glad to hear you like it. It always does my heart such good to have my work complimented. It was your grandmother's recipe, you know, but this time I've added some special ingredients of my own. Mom returned to the kitchen, presumably to get the sauce, and on her way out I noticed a smudged stain on the side of her shirt. It was tarnished red and formed a few small splatters against the plain light blue fabric. Tomato sauce, I presumed. Making it could be a messy endeavour, especially when the sauce started to boil and little bubbles at the top sometimes popped. Sneaking a glance into the kitchen, I noticed more tomato-y splatters on the floor and side cabinet. She must have spilled some. As Mom came back to the dining room with a bowl of fresh, hot sauce, all thoughts of tomatoes and mess evaporated from my head. I was just excited to eat Mom's spaghetti again. Mom's spaghetti.
Yeah.
Best M&M line ever.
Yeah.
It's vomit on his suit, Mom's spaghetti. I added a little red meat to the sauce this time. You boys are growing, so I figured it's like your dad always used to say. The protein and iron will do you good, though, Mom commented calmly, ladling out hot, chunky sauce onto the plain pasta. All right, enjoy, she said with a smile, and receded back into the kitchen. I dug into the pasta, hungry as ever and eager for a taste. I didn't even care about the meat, figuring I'd just pick it out and slip it to the dog. Actually, I did give a small chunk a try. I expected ground beef, but this was more of a chopped steak type deal. Square hunks of muscle, evenly distributed throughout the sauce. It was softer than beef and really tender and juicy. It was light and had a certain sweetness to it I'd never tasted in beef before. It's probably veal or a special cut or something. I actually enjoyed this, even despite it being red meat. I eagerly went back for another forkful and another and another. Both of us went in for seconds and our plates were practically licked clean by the end of dinner. Chuck turned to me and grinned, some red tomato sauce staining his mouth. Mike, dude, this stuff tastes fantastic. I bet this is that fancy organic luxury beef from that hippie supermarket that's opened up down off of Route 9. I've got to ask Mum for a recipe. Maybe Clara will cook it for us at that, she exclaimed. That's a good idea, man. You go ask her. I'm going to go head to the bathroom. I think I got something stuck in my teeth, I responded, rising up out of my chair, belly full of tasty home-cooked meal. Walking down the hallway to the bathroom, I noticed some things were off from this morning. The rug was crumpled up as if someone had been dragging something along it. The dog's bed was overturned, and across where it usually stood, just about every family portrait I saw, save for the ones taken out of all of us individually, were turned to face the wall. Upon turning them right side out, I saw something that gave me pause. In each and every one, my dad's face was scratched out. I was very, very concerned now. My mom might be in a much worse state than she had indicated. To deface our family photos, our memories of time spent together and love we shared for each other must have taken a rage towards my father that I never guessed she had inside her. I vowed to myself that I would talk to her very seriously tonight about seeing that therapist and make absolutely sure she followed through with it this time. Entering the bathroom, I flicked on the light and glanced in the mirror, my tongue flicking around my teeth, attempting to dislodge something stuck between. After a minute's struggle, the thing gave way and I spit it out into the sink. What I saw made me vomit up that homemade, lovingly prepared meal right into the toilet. It was a lock of blonde hair and a scrap of scalp still attached.
I knew that was coming, so...
It's just, yeah. That guy's a fucking idiot. The side is that there's been, like, a struggle, a murder takes place at the house, you know. Oh, it's tomato sauce fucking everywhere!
Yeah, but I guess it's a case of... He knows his mum and he's going to give her the benefit of the doubt. He's probably in denial about the whole thing, saying, no, my mum's fine. Well, she's fine.
His mum's a dick. You know? Yeah, I'm going to turn my son into a cannibal. That's definitely what he needs in his diet.
Yeah.
Long pig.
Destroy the evidence.
Well, yeah, there is that, I suppose. Well, that was a nice creepy session, wasn't it?
Yes,
very creepy stories. Well, some of them were actually terrible, I thought.
Yeah, very terrible. But...
Which was your favourite?
I kind of like that one at the end, actually. Yeah. Even though we did see the ending.
Blatantly obvious, you can see it coming a mile away, and he's like, that delicious steak chop meal. Mm-mm-mm.
That was my dad.
Lol, you ate your father. Ha ha ha. Possibly the girlfriend as well, I guess.
Yeah, probably the girlfriend as well.
I don't know. I quite like the one about the... I did quite like the video cassette one, even though it was a bit long-winded.
A bit long-winded.
I don't know. I mean,
I still can't tell if that one was about a time traveller or a vengeful ghost who just wanted to steal a load of motor oil.
Yeah, I suppose it's the ambiguousness in it that makes you think. Will you be lying asleep tonight with your eyes open?
No.
No, I don't think so. We've got about 10 minutes left. I think we should probably talk about our favourite scary things. What's the name? I want to mention a story called Uzumaki by Junji Ito. It's a manga, but you can read it online for free.
Yeah.
And it's about spirals, basically. It's a town that sort of gets taken over by spirals, but some of the artwork in it is absolutely fucking terrifying. Like, there's a chapter where someone notices that a classmate of theirs, a young lady, has got like a spiral scar on her head. And basically it gets possessed or something, and it starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger until it like, basically consumes her entire face. And you see the eyeball get sucked into this hole, and then the rest of her body gets sucked into this thing, and it's very graphic. A bit gory, but very creepy. It's kind of one of those things that's for shock value, and then you think about it, it's like, that doesn't actually make much sense.
Yeah.
My favourite one by Junji Ito is actually a B-story he did called The Mystery of Amagara Fault.
Yeah.
Have I mentioned this one before?
I think you probably have.
It's basically where explorers find these human-shaped holes in the side of a mountain.
Yeah.
Amagara Fault, which is basically the mountain's cracked open during an earthquake.
Yeah.
They find these human-shaped holes, but people are being attracted to them, and they're saying, this hole was made for me! Which sounds a bit cheesy, and it is a bit. Anyway, they go into the holes and they disappear and they're never seen again.
Yeah.
But they realise that basically the this bloke has a dream about it, and he dreams about it being like some sort of death sentence, basically.
Yeah.
So like the tribe that carved the holes would send prisoners into them, and the holes are made in a certain shape, so as they walk along it's a perfect fit, and they can't back out once they're inside because it's like grooved to be one way.
Yeah.
So as they go through, the shapes start distorting.
Yeah.
So presumably, you know, distorting the people inside them. And I don't want to ruin the ending, but the ending did make me avoid myself for about 2 days. I couldn't sleep properly.
Okay.
But then you look back and you think, actually, that's a bit silly.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's got a beam associated with it.
Yeah.
So another good story. If you're into horror, John dies at the end.
Oh, yeah.
The best of all horror stories, I think.
Yeah.
It's definitely on my top 10 list. I can't stop listening to the bloody thing. It's written by David Wong, which is the alias of Jason Pargin. Crackdead Serenity.
Yeah, Crackdead.
He's the editor at crack.com. There's a follow-up to it, which is this book is full of spiders. Seriously, dude, don't touch it. I actually prefer John Dies at the End.
Yeah.
I think it's... I know it's... people criticise it because it was originally an online serial that was released for free every Halloween.
Yeah.
And it feels like a series of stories.
Yeah.
But I quite like that aspect to it because it's segmented.
Yeah.
And there's callbacks to earlier adventures. It feels like more of a grand kind of epic storyline because it's got miniature adventures, whereas this book of sort of spiders is just one long story.
Yeah.
And you get different perspectives on it, and it's all right, but it does drag its feet a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it has moments.
This book is full of spiders is, John Dies at the End is basically about this drug that people are taking and it makes them see things, doesn't it? So,
yeah.
A man explodes, dogs drive cars, it's a bit kind of like if David Lynch wrote a book, I guess.
Yes, I know that.
And it's got lots of crude humour in it, like doorknobs turning into flaccid penises and that sort of thing.
Yeah, stuff like that.
And witty one-liners like, this door cannot be opened.
Yes.
And then the follow-up's about an invasion of brain-dwelling spiders.
Well, it's basically parasites, so...
It's
kind of replaced your tongue. Really,
it's like those fish parasites that eat the tongue out of the fish and then live inside the head. Except they're spiders and they live inside human heads.
Yeah.
And replace the tongue and the mouth for the rest of it.
Yeah.
Creepy. Especially if you don't like spiders like I do.
Yeah.
So. What did I say about Book of Spiders? Yeah, there was actually a film based around that, wasn't it, called The Bay.
Yeah.
Which we tried watching.
Yeah, but it was rubbish.
It was terrible. I was expecting it to have some sort of payoff. But basically the idea is that these fish-dwelling parasites mutate until they start eating people, don't they?
Yeah.
The idea is that they're in the water and then the hospitals are getting filled with people saying, oh, my insides hurt, and basically
it's getting... Yeah, so it's getting into the plumbing system and stuff as well, isn't it?
It was like the situation from Jaws where the politicians couldn't give a shit.
Yeah.
So they just let the chemicals into the water, and then that was affecting the fish parasites.
Yeah.
They had a couple of moments, but it's quite boring when it's a found footage movie. It's mostly just...
It felt like a documentary, and it didn't really go anywhere.
I think it had a point to make, but I don't know what that point is.
Don't pollute stuff.
Don't pollute. Don't give a hoot. Don't pollute.
Yes.
What other scary things could we recommend? I quite, films, I think one I definitely mentioned is Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
But that's more of a subversion, but I'm not going to say any more than that, because...
Yeah, because you kind of need to.
I think everyone who's seen Cabin in the Woods says you need to see Cabin in the Woods, and I don't like... Well, I do like Joss Whedon's stuff, I just don't like specific things he's done.
Well...
I think it is a
very good film. Well, you refuse to watch Buffy, and you can't make it all the way through Firefly, but you like Serenity.
Serenity's good, I like that, because it's just an hour...
And you like Avengers, watch movies, but you can't watch any shows by them, because it'll take too long to get into it.
Cabin in the Woods is good as well, it's got a good sense of humour to it, it's like a dark comedy. Dark comedy horror film, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Tucker and Dale vs. Evil?
That's a very good one.
That's a very good one. It's like a subversion of the old redneck country sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's told from the redneck's perspective.
Yeah, they're just two guys trying to make it... trying to live their lives, and suddenly college kids turn up and say, not the college kids. I know, these hillbillies are insane. You must prove that they're insane.
But it's the other way around as well, isn't it? They think the college kids are there to kill them.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. It's a fantastic film. What other films would you recommend for horror?
I don't tend to watch that many horror films.
I like horror comedies, so I like Evil Dead. Evil Dead series is good.
Yeah.
Skip the first one, go to Evil Dead 2, then watch Army of Darkness, which isn't a horror film, it's an action film with horror tones.
Yeah.
No, I've never been really into Gore Fest or anything like that.
No. No, I've always been more into the psychological stuff than horror.
Games? Resident Evil 4 is good.
Yeah.
Download that cheap these days.
Yeah.
It's like a better version of the game I'm currently playing, The Evil Within.
Yeah.
I guess.
Original Bioshock, you were...
Oh, Bioshock, but it's kind of a horror game. There's horrific stuff in it, but I wouldn't call it a horror game.
Well, the original more than, like, Infinity.
Oh, no, that's what I mean, Bioshock 1.
Yeah, that's
and what. Bioshock 2, but they're not, I wouldn't call them just horror games.
No, well, it's more of a survival thing. I mean, I could say the same for The Last of Us, but it was more of a that was more just survival more than horror, but there was bits where it got a bit intense or you were kind of nervous because if you messed up this next sneak segment, then crazy people with fungus faces are going to come over and eat you. So
I find that takes the fun out of it, though. If you've got sneaking segments, it suddenly isn't so scary.
I don't know, it kind of depends how well armed you are and how well you can fight off the people that are going to murder you when they come to get you, because if it's someone that you could probably beat up with just a couple of fists, then okay, it's not that scary, but if it's something that will kill you in one hit, then it gets kind of intense, in case of, I don't want these things to catch me.
I don't know, I'm saying that, yeah, Evil Within had that segment at the beginning, which was quite scary, wasn't it?
With the chainsaw man.
Who's chasing you down the corridor.
Yeah, but all the sneak segments after that, you weren't really.
It feels like a tepid Resident Evil 4.
Yeah.
And I quite like in Resident Evil 4, you can take them out with knife blows and the rest of it.
Yeah.
You know, you're not completely defenceless.
Yeah.
I don't know, any other horror games that I don't play a lot?
Yeah, well, most of the horror games are indie titles, aren't they? Like
Five Nights at Freddy's. I'm never playing that, it's too scary. No. I don't like jump scares.
No.
That's what set itself off.
Don't
mind. Well, I think that's it for Halloween.
Yeah, I think so.
Stay safe this Halloween.
Yep.
Be careful, because that trick-or-treater could be a knife-wielding psychopath.
Yeah.
Who wants to weigh your face.
Even if it is only a three-year-old, it could still...
yes, creepy three-year-olds. Watch out for them, you know.
Yeah, especially if they start singing nursery rhymes.
Yes. La, 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 la. They're here.
I can't remember what the one from the Freddy Krueger stuff normally is, though. Nightmare on Elm Street, because of course the little kids in that always sit.
Freddy's coming to get you, or something. Yeah, some Freddy's going to
get ya.
Shopping of other books and stuff to recommend. Goosebumps? I haven't read Goosebumps in years.
Well, then again, those were pretty much creepypastas in themselves, because a lot of them weren't, you know, absolutely terrifying.
Something a bit weird, like the guy who's stealing hands. That was a bit weird.
Yeah. You put a mask on, and suddenly the mask pretty much takes over your body. You can't take it off again.
It becomes your face.
Yeah. I read the sequel to that, and basically the mask is just some old guy's mask. So the little kid who put it on, so he starts developing like arthritis, and he limp and stuff, and gets really tired. So it's not really scary. It's just a case of, oh, now I feel like a 90-year-old.
Oh, say cheese and die with a camera that predicts how you're going to die.
I remember Night of the Living Dummy seeming scary when I read that, but again, that's Night of the Living Dummy. It's basically child's play, but dumbed down a bit, so it's not quite as terrifying.
I don't know, I have to get some goosebumps, I think.
Yeah. I don't know, I should still have a couple at home. Like, be careful what you wish for.
Saying I want to be eternally beautiful and turned into a statue.
No, actually, the book... Well, I don't know if the book ends different to what the TV episode was, but the one I read, it ends with the girl saying, well, every single wish I've made turns out horribly, so I'm going to make someone else have this. I don't know, give the wishes to the girl I hate and let her deal with it. And then the book ends with the, because the protagonist's name was Samantha Bird all the way, and everyone kind of kept teasing us about her surname. The end of it, the bully that she just gave all the wishes to wishes that Samantha Bird becomes a bird, so that's how the book ends, this Samantha flying off into the distance.
Creepy.
Yeah, pretty much.
Works better than being a statue, I guess.
Yeah.
I think that's it, pretty much, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
We're 3 minutes over, so I'll just see if I play the time to get up to the nice round 5, but I think we'll have to leave it here.
Yeah, I think so. Unless you got 8 plugs.
Plugs? No, I've been a lazy bastard the last month and a half. I am going to try to fix that and do some stuff, but...
Yeah.
Ironically... the chapter we're working on for the world tour would have been perfect this month because it's all horror stuff.
Yeah.
But that's still on hiatus.
Yeah, still on hiatus.
I have to see about getting that done, I think.
Yeah, see how he's doing.
Yeah. But good night. Don't let the bed bugs bite.
And also, don't blink.
Yes, don't blink. Don't.
Don't blink and you're dead.
Don't blink.
Blink and you're dead.
Or teleport it to a different place. They were a bit inconsistent, those angels.
Yeah. Well, in the first episode, it was they touch you and they steal all the moments you would have lived, and then you're basically killed by kindness. But then in the follow-up, it's like, well, we can't really be bothered to transport you through time, so we're just going to break your neck. Hope you don't mind. Yeah, weird.
Weird. Bye!
Bye!